Today on the Cooligans, Arsenal, Man City, the celebration okay. that took over the internet. We'll talk about Marcus Rashford going to Aston Villa and what, again, we ask this every week, what the hell is happening to Manchester United?
We also talk to Emil Forsberg from the Rebels. Do we do the jokes you think we're going to do in the interview? Why don't you listen and find out? And then, of course, after that, we got to break down all these crazy moves that are happening at the end of this transfer window, including Cucho Hernandez is going where for how much? That's crazy. That and more on this episode of the Cooligans.
I know this is a show about football, soccer, but oh boy. Luca. Where's Luca?
Bro. Hey, famous soccer fan.
Exactly.
Right?
He could have probably been a footballer.
Right?
We've seen him juggling a basketball from
former
time to
Real
time.
Madrid player.
That's right.
Right? We talking football right now. Hey, yo, Lakers fans are still like, how are we this lucky right now?
One of the most.
Also, by the way, big up, yo. What a big day for chubby dudes, bro. Let's go.
Oh, yeah. I just love how Alexis feels that him and Luca are basically the same guy.
I bet you if his wife saw me walk by, she'd be like, Luca? Oh no. Never mind.
Happens all the time.
You're not 6'3. Alexis Guerreros.
No, but it's rare in sport where things, a trade like this, a transaction like this can affect the like global sports,
right?
Where even I saw this in the Bundesliga coverage, apologies, the British guy that does the English coverage on ESPN, he was asking
the British guy who does the German Bundesliga coverage.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the sideline report, I forgot his name, apologies, but great.
The
work.
Dude who has the crazy jacket.
Yeah.
I love this guy.
I can't
remember his name right now. He's really good at his job, though.
Carter, Google crazy jacket guy on
crazy
ESPN.
Crazy jacket guy, ESPN, Bundesliga.
You might come up. But he was asking the Bayer Leverkusen players after the game, like, yo, what you think about the Luca stuff? And I think it was Jeremy Frimpong that was like, I can't believe it, man. Right. Like, whatever, this is mine.
Nah, fam. I don't know why he's a tough boy out there. What are we saying? You figure it out?
No, I forgot his name. But this...
We've been doing the show with Carter for how many months now? And he still thinks he can't talk. We literally have a microphone in front of him. And sometimes he'll just react with pantomime.
He has...
You have a microphone, Carter!
He has the producer brain.
Yeah.
Which is like, hey, I'm in the shadows.
Yeah, shh. No one can know I'm back here.
But he's in his full Lakers tracksuit.
Yeah, he came in here stunting.
Carter's a big Laker fan.
Right, he's a Tottenham fan. He ain't got much stuff. Celebrate on that side, so there's a lot of Laker gear coming up.
So, I think this is one of the kind of biggest transactions in sports.
How surprised were you on a scale of 1 to Jason Kidd sitting next to sitting at press conference?
There's so much drama around it, but yeah,
this man is Jason, seething. He is, I didn't sign up for this.
I'm pretty sure Jason Kidd is currently held hostage as the coach of the Dallas Mavericks.
100% hostage face in that press conference.
Felt bad for him. We'll see what ends up happening, because I
would have been less surprised if Luka Doncic was traded to Arsenal. You know what I'm saying? I would have been less surprised.
Lakers are going to be... They're going to be a lot of 148 to 207 games for the Lakers.
Crazy.
They're going to be no defense.
I just say the NBA, stop defending right now. Let's just have a good time. What was it? Exploding Heads? Remember those two guys that used to do the funny videos?
Yeah.
Am Richardson, I think his name was. They did one where he was announcing an NBA 2K game.
Mm-hmm.
As if it was like a British announcer.
Sure.
And I think it was like Miami Heat versus the Lakers. He's like, and the final score is 99 to 101. Seems excessive. I'm like, that is perfect. But let's go for it. Let's have 210 to 208, bro.
So we'll see what Luca brings to Los Angeles.
Move the three-point line down and let's just get crazy.
Entertaining in basketball. They have to... gain some ground, because I think all the other sports are getting a little bit more attention.
Oh, so your conspiracy theory is that this
like
is a TV ratings.
This
play.
Was the way it was kept secret.
Mm-hmm.
Adam Silver.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he might have known what's going on. You know, maybe he's like puppeteering.
He's familiar. Remember when they couldn't let my guy get traded to the Lakers for football?
Chris Paul.
Football, not football, but basketball reasons. Yes. They never gave like an exact reason.
Yeah, they be meddling, you know.
So,
Garber's like, nah, that's how you do it. Okay. You don't even give him a reason. Oh, it's because I said so? You're allowed to do that.
So, I'm excited to see what that looks like. But
as a Knicks fan, I'm not that excited, to be honest with you.
Lakers, my opinion, they ain't doing anything.
No, they're not going to.
They're not going to do it. No. I mean, respectfully,
also,
too.
Also, why you even need Luka, bro? You got Bronny.
Get Bronny more minutes, bro.
Now, Bronny's not going to. He's just going to sit on a bench and listen to Jello's new song?
Anyway, welcome, everybody. Welcome to the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerrero.
We're here on Yahoo Sports. Yahoo! Per use. Damn, bro. Okay. Okay, Tiesto. Damn, bro.
Yo, shouts to his family.
Well, that was a different guy, but yeah.
Yeah. That was, what's his name? Something with a D, right?
I forgot his name, though. Anyway, what's up, everybody? We have...
They're giving y'all free beats, bro.
We have an incredible show today because we're one of our guests today is an exciting one, maybe even controversial to some. But we we spoke to New York Red Bulls, designated player Emil Forsberg,
who learned from my father
the MLS media day. Okay, let's tone it down with the jokes. We had a very respectful interview with him.
We had a good respectful interview.
All right, I mean,
we wanted to do a couple jokes. We'll see. You, why don't you listen in and see if we can get him in?
Exactly. Look, I mean,
there was a lot of people in the room looking at it. That's all I'm gonna say.
Behind his back, we do the jokes. We would never.
Oh, maybe. Listen, watch and listen.
So, yes, Emil Forsberg is going to be joining us. We spoke to him in Miami at MLS Media Day just a couple weeks ago.
He's one of the folks on the new documentary.
That's right. Onside, the new documentary that's coming out February 21st.
Made by the same people who did Drive to Survive,
the F1,
which made Americans care about F1. So, you know how exciting
it really
is.
Captured how fast he left his... I'm kidding. Yeah. Jokes, all jokes.
Rebel Racing. I thought he was.
Look at the pace on that guy. Anyway, we had a great conversation with him.
He was the original Luka Doncic trade.
We're on the lookout.
All right, we're done. Or are we? Watch.
So be on the lookout for that. But let's start today with some Premier League action. And we'll also discuss some transfers. There's a lot going on.
What you want to talk about first, Christian?
Hey, Arsenal faced Manchester City.
Got me in a zen moment, bro.
Okay, you're finally at peace, these Arsenal fans.
Actually, my hips are so tight, I can't even sit crisscross applesauce.
Oh, you can't do that. Okay.
I can, but my knees are wild high.
Okay. All right, really, Luka Doncic. I thought we were Luka a couple seconds ago.
Bro, I can't really sit in that. Damn.
Anyway.
He's not that flexible.
Manchester City against they faced Arsenal.
You
want to
hear something
Emirates.
Crazy?
Yeah, what?
Charlie Davies was there with his family for his first ever actual Arsenal match.
Wow.
What a game to go to, huh?
Oh, okay.
That was his first ever. He had never been to a game before.
The one that you were
his
at a
first
Man
ever
City
at the Emirates.
Game.
First one at the Emirates.
Oh, okay, at the Emirates.
First time he's ever seen Arsenal play at home, ever.
Got it. Yeah, okay, because you guys went for a...
We went to the other
to
city.
Etihad.
At the Etihad, where I almost got beat the f- up, and he didn't do nothing about it.
Right.
He bounced like a mil force. Anyway, he left me alone, bro. I said, Dad? Papa?
Good for him. I can't believe I've been to an Arsenal game at the Emirates before Charlie Davies.
Yeah, man.
Anyway. But the
yours was you the one you went with 6-0. This was 5-1. I mean, this was yours was even better.
Entertaining. No, this was a game for the most part. In were there any goals in the first half? Or
yeah, it was 1-1 in the first half.
1-1 in the first half, and then once
second half was all Arsenal.
Once Erling Haaland scored that goal, there was a little part of me that was like,
oh no.
Hey, this
it
is
just you. This it is was like, me and here, everyone. I'm like, uh-oh.
Here we go again. But there were a couple controversial moments. Obviously, the first goal, Martin Odegaard gets the ball from Kai Havertz.
Leandro Trossard with the press.
gets the ball back.
Is that the one time from Declan Rice to Kai Havertz? Kai Havertz crosses to Odegaard. Odegaard. Beautiful.
Boom, goal in the first, what, 2 minutes or something like
very,
that?
Very, very quick.
And the, but the Gabriel Jesus screaming in Haaland's face. That was the first moment.
No, Gabriel Magalhães.
Yes.
Gabriel Jesus.
Oh, that's right, right. Gabriel Magalhães. Yeah, he screams in Haaland's face.
Okay, but go back to the last time we played, or I'm sorry, go to the last time Arsenal, because I'm not on the team, that Arsenal played Manchester City. If you remember, Erling Haaland scores the go-ahead goal, and he takes the ball and bangs it off the back of Gabriel Magalhães' head,
I do
running out of goal. So this was a little bit of a clapback. Here's also what you missed, right? So this is the moment here where he kind of like, ha! As he runs past him, laughs in his face, which also shows why Erling Haaland celebrated in a very cocky, kind of quiet way when he scores the header not too long after this. But there was a moment in between those two that I think is way more iconic than this. And I don't know if you can find it, but Gabriel Magalhães hits the ground. I believe it was between this. Gabriel Magalhães hits the ground after defending against Erling Haaland and one of his shoes is off. And if you see on camera, he grabs the back of Erling Haaland's shorts and pulls him and tells him something. He told him, yo, go get me my shoe. This was a concentrated effort from the beginning to get inside Erling Haaland's head.
Yeah, I did see.
And I kind of think it worked.
I did see that. I can't find the photo, but this was a... I loved how the announcers sort of played it off, and they were like... they said, like, oh, Gabriel was just pointing at his boot to tell Haaland, like, you knocked my boot off.
No, he said, go get me my boot.
You could see him be like, yo, get me my shoes.
Yo,
you
know what dog, I mean? I'm, bro, like, treating my guy on some youngin', young blood shit the whole game. I mean, this is how you get, especially while they're struggling, this is how you get inside Erling Haaland's head. Now, this could backfire, right? Like, he could go on to score five against alone.
But I think it was before Haaland ended up scoring the goal. I think they said it on the broadcast that he had only had, like, four touches of the ball.
Marmoush was ghost this whole game.
Yeah, he didn't really do much. I mean, no, look, we'll get to Man City's issues because they had plenty.
But he was starting in the 10 position. So you assume he's kind of somewhat responsible for either drawing defenders out by making runs or at least facilitating for Erling Haaland. That was not happening.
Yeah, there was. I mean, this is also, it's a big gamble for Pep to start a guy who just signed with the team.
Well, he already broke Kusin off.
I mean, it's like wild that, you know, you have, it's not like he doesn't have players that were already playing in that position that understand the system or whatever. So it's a big risk in a big game like this. But, as far as City's issues, I mean, I think one of the factors is watching this game, especially watching that second half, I think City is not doing well. And a lot of teams, I think, in the Premier League are not, but they're not doing well after their Champions League fixtures. So that picking that roster.
Fixture congestion in general.
Yes, but this is like you have a very short turnaround. It's a Carabao Cup match where you can really.
You could really flex different players.
Yeah. They start a strong lineup in their Champions League matchups and then go to really, like, you know, a big game where there's a lot at stake and you know, there's clearly a rivalry and stuff like that. So that's why I thought that second half, that collapsed. Phil Foden giving the ball away over and over and over.
Yeah. He was getting attacked. I think Leandro Trossard played out of his skin today. This is the most aggressive I've seen him play since he came to Arsenal.
Sure.
He's one of those types of players where it feels like when he's on, you have to say that at the beginning of a sentence because he's unstoppable, man. He's got like insane. He's insanely techie. He seems to be a bit of a leader on the pitch. Doesn't overshadow anyone else, but you can see he's a bit of a leader. And it's like sometimes I'm so scared of him starting because he can disappear. He can sort of collapse into the game a little bit. Where in the sense where you're like, I'm not even sure if he's active today. This match was one of those where he was absolutely on. He caused so many turnovers, caused the turnover for the first goal. He was so on point. Bro, this whole team had a different confidence, especially in the second half.
Yeah, and then the lack of confidence, I think, from Manchester City. John Stones, he was getting cooked all
getting
game.
Cooked.
It's just surreal to see.
The camera kept panning to him after every goal.
Yeah, well, he had the deflection from Partey. Maslow Skelly scored the goal on him. it's just the
number
the,
one MLS, bro, right there, bro. So
the yeah, just the entire game. It's just like these players that whether it's exhaustion, tiredness, or whatever, just these bad decisions. I usually attribute, especially the mistakes that Phil Foden was making, through just fatigue. I mean, how are you passing the ball in the middle of the pitch to not your teammate? You know what I mean?
I mean, I hear you, but Arsenal also played in Champions League.
I understand that, but there's I think there was at least a little bit of you know, I don't know if it's I don't know what was the lineup in the Champions League match per se, but they Arsenal didn't need to win their game, right? It wasn't as like
no.
crucial,
yeah,
to make it into Champions
League.
There
was a chance they could have slipped out of the top eight, but I think they needed to lose by a lot.
Sure. So I felt like the Arsenal players were a little bit more vibrant. And then again,
especially first of all, this is a match without Bukayo Saka.
Yes.
To score five against maybe not the best team in the league this year, but over the last decade, the best team in the league, to score five against them without your best player, mm-hmm. that's huge. Yeah, and not enough can be said about that. And I think this is part of the slippery slope that Arsenal constantly finds himself in, is towards the end of the transfer window in January, there's always some youth player that steps up and makes you feel like maybe we don't need to go buy anybody. And then that you kind of, it's not as consistent because they're young. You know what I mean?
Sure.
They're going to have moments where they slip up. They're going to have moments where they don't play as well. They don't have that confidence. This match was not that. This match was coming out party for Mazlou Skelly and for Ethan Nwaneri.
Yeah.
Because there was a part of me when Nwaneri comes in, the vibes are so good. I actually watched this game at Fancy Free, which is the bar below Spike Lee's office. So sometimes he comes down to watch Arsenal games.
Okay.
I don't think he was in town for this one, but the place was packed. I got there super early. The place was absolutely packed. A lot of people like, yo, Cooligans, whatever. Like a lot of Cooligans fans were there. But I actually watched this with Ryan Hun from Stadio Podcast. Shouts to Ryan. Big Arsenal fan as well. He happens to be in town. And magically, like, two more Brits find their way to the table. I'm like, what is this? I don't even feel like I'm in New York anymore, you know? And they're all Arsenal fans, obviously. And as soon as the goal goes in from Erling Haaland, which is why I said it wasn't just you, the tension in that whole room, like, zap. And they were like, all right, now it feels more like England. You know what I mean?
Because sure.
They were always saying, well, it's too positive. Like, it's too, like, people are enjoying themselves too much. This doesn't feel like I'm watching a game in England because right. Americans tend to be more positive. We're more joyous when we see each other, especially, you know, if you saw another Everton, you're like, hey, in England, they're like, no, all right, yeah. What's up? You know, like they don't have the joy that we do when we see one because it's a bit more rare. And then the moment that Erling Haaland goal scores, you could feel the energy get zapped out of the room. And it was like, oh, here we go again. And that second half, man, and the fact that when Nwaneri came in, I was like, bro, go get you one. Lewis Skelly already got one. Go get you one. And then he actually does in a very Bukayo Saka-esque goal.
Lovely goal.
It's one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's good to see that offensive production and then, like, especially figure out a team like Manchester City. I thought Kai Havertz missing that great chance early in the game.
I said, bro, he needs to get another goal.
Yeah.
He needs to get a goal in the second half. Yeah. You got to make amends.
Yeah, yeah. He just has too many of those throughout, especially this season.
All I'm asking is get it on frame. You know what I mean?
Right,
you're standing on the penalty spot, basically.
He does everything right except sort of the last thing.
I think he saw the goalkeeper adjust, so he maybe kind of adjust late, but still, bro.
We obviously have to talk about Mazlou Skelly's goal and the celebration afterwards, which just...
How old is Mazlou Skelly, by the way?
He is 18 years old.
18, bro.
And
this is the type of confidence only a young man can have.
I believe, was it in the last game that he had the little scuffle with...
He had the red card.
No. In the last game against Manchester City. Because I don't know if it was earlier in this game or in the last game.
This was a previous match. I think it was the home match where Erling Haaland said, who the F are you?
Yes, yes, yes. And there's...
Well, sometimes you ain't got to tell him. Sometimes you just got to show him.
He's like, I am Major League Soccer.
Yeah. Because Messi plays here.
Because my man did... he scored a great goal. Mm-hmm. Did the celebration. Did Erling Haaland.
Look at Gundogan in the background like, damn.
You gonna let him do that to you, Erling?
Yo.
I love Gabriel Magalhaes' reaction to it. Being like, hey, okay. I didn't see this one coming, but I love it.
Even young man on the game plan. Go get my boot. Go get your shine, Bob. Sterling.
No, this is just an iconic photo. And then the other one of all the players standing around Mazu Iskelly while he's doing the celebration. This is just one of those things of like, hey, we're going to remember this.
We're going to remember.
Arsenal fans are going to remember it.
Take a picture,
and,
bro.
And you know, Manchester City fans and the players are going to be like, Erling Haaland, I can't even wait. I'm already salivating at the thought of his next goal celebration? No, at the next Arsenal-Manchester City match, because it's going to be entertaining.
Ooh, can they match up in Champions League?
I don't know where the brackets sort of are, but I guess
that'd be interesting.
Anything could happen. No, this was this is just a great moment, and you know, for especially a show like ours, I mean, banter, jokes. This is how you do it, and I, you know,
this almost needs no comment, no reaction. This says it all.
Yeah, this is just a great photo that you know, we had Carling Jackson on. You know, she had painted.
Actually, this is poorly drawn Arsenal. It's this exact picture.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah.
I gotta bring that up. I think it's Can't Draw Arsenal that he goes by. All right, whatever. Anyway,
yeah.
But an iconic moment where we were talking to Carling Jackson about painting Emile Smith Rowe's first goal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is
it.
This is the one.
Get to painting, Carling, bro. Carling. This is it. That big moment right here.
Kelly, hit up Carling, because this is just an incredible moment. But
for those who don't know, Erling Haaland's been doing the celebration since his Salzburg days, bro. This is early in his career.
And he is also apparently, like, it's a very genuine thing. Like, he does meditate.
He does yoga and stuff, Zen guy. At the bar, by the way, they were selling hats that said "Stay humble." I bought one.
Okay,
pretty great.
Look at Alexis buying merch,
yeah, bro. You know what's funny? Ryan goes like, "Oh no, I bought this before the game. I've jinxed it." I'm like, bro, y'all can't be this way. Not all of you. I'm like, bro, we in America, bro. Just don't put it on your head yet.
Hilarious.
And immediately was very happy about that.
Amazing. So, look, great game. I was entertained. Manchester City still have a lot to figure out.
Did you see Pep's reaction to the goal celebration?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Didn't I have that pulled up somewhere? Oh, yeah, this is a fun a fun moment. They asked him about the celebration that Miles Lewis-Skelly just did, and here's his reaction.
Pay attention to the spin in his mouth.
I didn't see. I didn't do that. That's good. That's good. So, I'm already the Allen celebration.
The thing that you're mentioning is from a different video.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
They have done it. Oh, yeah? Gabriel
let it play out.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Thank you, guys.
Yo, what evil went through this man's mind in that moment? Because you know he's like, oh, y'all always wanted me to be down. And y'all kicking me while I'm down.
Just the when he says that's good, I just need all the, you know, viewers and listeners to understand that he does not think it's good.
He actually
thinks it's bad.
Yeah. He's saying that.
He's saying.
But his entire body language is not sharing that. This is like when you embarrass your mother in public. You say something you weren't supposed to say.
Yeah, yeah.
And she knows she can't hit you right now. You know what I mean? She can't really do nothing.
The pela that you're getting at home.
But she's just like, mm-hmm.
Okay. Real good.
Well, me voy a acordar de eso cuando entramos en el carro. You know, she's like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right, you got me right now. But you don't own the house that we're about to walk into. Yo.
Yeah.
The energy is so like, wait till I get my flip flop. They're giving him billboard material, which I'm fine with because
the bulletin board material.
Because the opposite was true for so long. So this is nice to see the leverage switch.
We're not used to Pep Guardiola being embarrassed.
Bad,
being embarrassed.
Yeah.
Especially with results like
toyed
this.
Toyed with,
like mocked.
Yeah.
His players being mocked. Like, you know, there's a certain level of the
it
way.
It tastes good though, doesn't it?
The way Pep Guardiola teams carry themselves. Like, we look at Arsenal, and the one thing you could complain about is like, you know, the yellow cards, red cards that they've been getting all season. And yeah, they've been hard done by referees, but sometimes they kind of lose their focus. Pep teams don't really do that. They're very, very calm.
They don't give up leads constantly either.
What's been
happening to them over the course of the last
month
season and a half,
is obviously
2 months,
very, very rare. All right, let's move on to another big news in
Also, shouts to whoever handles the aux cable at Arsenal for playing Humble.
Oh, that's
be
right.
Humble,
what's the name of the song? Humble. The song is Humble.
Yeah, from the multi-Grammy Award winner. Crazy.
Kendrick Lamar.
A whole arena singing a diss song of yours is crazy. Wait,
yeah. A minor at the Grammys is crazy, bro.
Drake, a Canadian tuxedo. He was born in Canada from being not wanting to be the
first
stage.
He's like, why is my lawyer at the Grammys singing to the song?
It's crazy, bro. Anyway. My dentist is there? That's bananas.
Anyway, other big news. Well, Aston Villa on loan, they sign Marcus Rashford. Rashford is going to Villa.
This is a very smart move for both parties.
I agree. Definitely, Manchester United need to just get this man out of Carrington.
He's not having
a good time.
The drama surrounding this man and how much he plays or doesn't play and his personal life and all that, you need to move away from that.
Mm-hmm.
Get that focus away from this when it comes to, you know, Ruben Amorim. He's got other fish to fry. And then, which is very British now that I think about that. And then let's see what Unai Emery can do, you know?
Sure. Is there any surprise that he chose Villa? That Villa wanted it? Villa, they obviously got rid of John Durand.
Yeah. I mean, they also may possibly be getting rid of Ollie Watkins if other offers come in, right? There was an opportunity there for Ollie Watkins to potentially move. I mean, it's probably not happening, but I'm just saying, like, making this move was smart to be like, all right, we need to get one back. But, to go to Birmingham instead of, I assumed he would be heading to a London team or out of the Premier League. So for him to go to Aston Villa, I think it's very smart business by Aston Villa. It's a loan. I think they cover most of his wages, if I'm not mistaken.
Sure. So it's an expensive loan.
But it's a bit of a gamble. But they got
the Durant money.
I think if you're Unai Emery, you say, all right, let me see if I can kind of get him back on the pitch and playing well.
That's really all it is. This is a...
Are you getting the vibes of like Dele Alli to Everton?
No, not even close.
Okay.
Rashford is still up until he got benched. He was still fairly productive. Yep. He wasn't doing what he was doing when he first got there. But so it's sad for a lot of players to see kind of what happened with Rashford. But he's going to a better team, in better form, less drama. If it doesn't work, we know whose fault it is.
Also, he's going to a place where he's not the main guy.
Sure.
He's walking into a place that has its own atmosphere. It's got its own culture. He needs to learn it. So he has to adjust to them. It's not like if someone was coming in, Manchester United, like Ruben Amorim, I've been here before. I've been here since I was a kid. I've been here for two decades already. No. You're going somewhere new. You need to adjust. Let's see if you adjust.
Yeah. And there's something, Manchester United, playing for Manchester United is playing for the Yankees and all the media coverage and all the scrutiny and just being away from that a little bit, I think will be helpful to Rashford. He's done it for probably as long as he could possibly handle. Him going to, an NBA game is like major news and all the like sports pages and all the sites and stuff like that. Can't go to one Knicks game. What are you doing?
Come on.
So it looks like, like I said, if it doesn't work out, it's his fault. But I think he will be productive and playing. It's not even just playing like with players like Ollie Watkins, but Morgan Rodgers, like Onana. Like, it's nobody's gonna really ask him. He doesn't need to track back and defend.
I assume
he's gonna be on the wing. Go off, all bruh.
Right. Over under goals at Aston Villa.
And this he has 3-4 months.
What do we call it? Well, let's say. Let's say 6.5 goals. Over or under?
I'm going to say under.
Under 6.5 goals?
Yeah, I don't think he does that many.
I'm going to go over. Carter?
Over.
Okay, I just want to make sure he even used the mic. Honestly, I'm happy people know he's alive. We're not lying.
Okay, interesting. I'd be impressed if you can do that.
Let us know in the comments what you think. Over, under on maybe goals for Marcus Rashford at Aston Villa. We're calling it 6.5. Mm-hmm. Over or under?
Okay.
We should put some money on it or something. Do something.
Okay. All right. You want to start a gambling site? Bro.
We should do something. We should put some stakes to it.
Okay. How many stakes?
Ooh, multiple. 2 prime ribs. How about this? You got to, I have to take you to dinner at a place you pick, or you got to take me to dinner at a place I pick. Carter comes along.
Okay, deal. No Carter, though. I'm kidding.
Yeah. All right, done. All right, Carter. Get the mic. Get the mic back away from him. Go back to miming.
Speaking of Manchester United, they did play their game.
They had a bad one.
Against Crystal Palace at home. This is now, I believe, their seventh loss at home at Old Trafford.
This season,
bro.
Jeez. That might have been as many as they lost at home under Sean Ferguson.
I saw the...
obviously, I'm kidding for those people watching.
In the Brock, I think Rebecca Lowe mentioned it. It was something... Manchester United haven't lost that many games at home since like 1898 or something like that. It was like literally over 100 years.
Oh, my God. I'm trying to pull this up.
Remarkably bad at home.
I watched this at the bar waiting for the Arsenal match to start. And the joy it brings Arsenal fans to see Manchester United be this bad. The whole city of Manchester had a bad one, man. This was pathetic, bro. It seemed like Mateta could do whatever he wanted in this game. And somebody mentioned, I think it was actually Ryan, man, ever since he tucked his shirt in, the kid's back. Yeah, Mateta's talking to Schroeder. He is absolutely bodying this back line. Lenny Euro at moments looked completely lost. And I think he's actually a great defender. I think he's going to be a great defender. But there's moments where I don't think everyone's on the same game plan here, man.
Yeah, I mean, also a very disappointing and very sad injury to Lisandro Martinez. We don't know what it is. So it looks like an ACL.
Confirmed torn ACL.
Yeah, yeah.
That's terrible.
Really, really sucked. I mean,
I'm gonna get you one of those headset on a headphone. you can't forget.
I think it was. I mean, it's a terrible injury, but there's a little bit of like he defended it in a poor way. Like he tried to.
The amount of people carrying the stretcher was. I think there were less pallbearers in my grandfather's funeral.
It was pretty serious. I don't know.
I gotta be honest. It's a knee injury. I thought at first maybe it was like a head-to-head collision or maybe like a heart problem. Sure. Because I didn't see it happen. I was adjusting my seat and I look up and suddenly I see he's down and a bunch of players are like standing over him. So I'm like, what happened? I looked it up on, I think it was on Blue Sky. I saw the video. Mm-hmm. I was like, huh.
Yeah.
It's a knee problem.
But careful, because Ineos might end up firing the half of the medical team.
Yeah. I think that's why they were all out there. They're like, quick, look busy. Yeah.
Really, really sucked. You hate to say it. But he like sort of...
He landed weird on
he
it.
He was like... it was Sar, I think, that he was kind of going up against. And Sar went around him. And it was just a... it was like desperate defending. It was like, he's trying to shield the ball. And just did
feels like when you get injured, like he was trying to adjust his body in a way to like
it
at
was
least
just, it was just like not confident defending and not confident on the ball. And I think that was partly what led to the injury.
I mean, but we hope he's okay.
But I think it's just in general the desperation that Manchester United are playing with that affected even his decision and how to defend in that way. But yeah, obviously it sucks that he got hurt. You just hate to see it.
Yeah.
But Crystal Palace, I also want to give credit to Chris Richards. I thought Chris Richards had one of the best games he's ever had in the Premier League.
Dude, he's developed into a week in, week out starter where remember when he wasn't getting minutes and then they made him a defensive midfielder and then eventually he got back in a center back and now he's locked that in.
Yeah, he looked great in this game, and it's that hasn't been the entire season. Mm-hmm. I also think another factor, kind of what I mentioned with Manchester City playing, I think with Manchester United, I'd have to look at the results, but when they do play their midweek matches, the Europa League matches on Thursdays, Manchester United look like a completely different team after they play those Europa League matches.
Meaning they look cooked, they look spent.
Yes, because they do not have the depth. They have injuries, and they don't have the roster to really handle playing all these matches. And that's why I think a factor of like why they lost against Crystal Palace. They just looked. Super comfortable. And then the players that you sort of expect stuff from, like Amad Diallo, like just players to bring in that a little bit of energy, just like they just don't have it.
Yeah. I'm starting to think that Todd Boehly was right.
Mm.
Right? Depth is a major issue. This man got the depth of three squads.
My man gives them all 12-year contracts.
Yo, I'm kind of thinking like the ability to have an 11 that plays in the Premier League and almost another 11 that plays in the conference. And I know conference is a different level than Europa, but still, I mean, the essence of what he was thinking the game will turn into, he's kind of right. I feel like in a way he's been proven right. I know Chelsea being a little bit higher up in the standings right now would make me sound a little bit smarter than what I'm sounding right now. Mm-hmm. But in the end, I think Todd Boehly will be proven right.
Okay. The only time will tell.
No.
We shall see. The last thing in just some transfer news is Matthijs Tel.
You got an apology to make, bro.
Yes, Matthijs Tel. The reports are saying that he will be joining Tottenham over the other options he had were Aston Villa, Arsenal, Chelsea and Manchester United.
Right. So the loan is no option to buy.
It's
just 6 months.
Let's play back the tape.
Yeah.
What we said the other day about Matthijs Tel.
What do you mean we, bro? You speaking French?
Because
Christian.
We did not think
Who's this we though? What'd you say? Tottenham is a little thotty, a little messy.
Tottenham is like, can you make a hole into a house? Why type of thing? So kind of shocked that Ange, I guess, the report saying Ange made the call, spoke to Matthijs,
sealed the deal,
said, hey, you need to come here.
He said, bro, I'm only here for 6 months. Why don't you get your ass over here?
This is a great place to play. Uh-huh. And
I'm a start you. I got no other choice.
So, look, when it comes to playing time, hey,
he gonna get it.
You know where you get. Yeah. So that was fairly obvious. So clearly, maybe that was kind of the biggest selling point. Mm-hmm. But surprised that's you know, the situation that he went into. But you know, Tottenham won a Premier League match.
Yeah. They're up to what? 12th, 13th?
Yeah, they won in Europa League, right? They're like, you know, it could be worse.
They're in 14th. Okay, they're in 14th. Sandwiched above them is Manchester United, 2 points above, and then 3 points above them is Crystal Palace. Not bad. Brighton, not that far from them. Not that bad company, right? It seems like a couple more wins, they could sneak themselves back into the top half of the table.
Maybe. I mean, yeah. I feel like the bar should be a little bit higher for Tottenham, given the amount of money they spend, the stadium that they play in.
I agree,
in.
But Daniel Levy's smart, man. He always finds a way to deflect.
All right. So we'll see how Matthijs Tel does it. Mm-hmm. Congrats to him. Hopefully it works out.
Yeah, man.
At Tottenham. All right, let's get to our conversation with Emil Forsberg, the New York Red Bull midfielder. We chatted with him, like we said, at MLS Media Day in Miami just a couple weeks ago.
Find out if we kept it respectful or not.
We had a great time chatting with him.
It was an honor getting to speak with all the players. Exactly. Thank you so much for making time.
Our conversation with Emil Forsberg.
I mean, what an honor, right? We put ourselves in a position to interview players, and then they bring us some of the greatest.
Some of the greatest, especially designated players. People are involved in the new documentary on Apple
TV. That's what this
is
here for.
Onside.
He's so good that they followed him around for a documentary, and now we get to talk to him?
Exactly. I don't know why they didn't bring it up to us first.
Yeah, I know, really. Why aren't we in the documentary? Well, let's ask you that first question. Ladies and gentlemen, you know him from the New York Red Bulls. You've watched him play all over Europe. Absolutely incredible. Emil Forsberg, everybody.
Emil, what's up, man?
How are you doing, guys? Happy to be here.
All right. Are we going to get to see the kit? Is that ever going to happen?
I hope not.
This guy's zipped up, ready to go.
Yeah, no. They told me not to show it.
Right. Well, it'll be, we'll have to embargo the interview if he does show it. So,
when the camera's off.
Keep it a secret. Emil, I obviously have to ask about Onside, the documentary. Has this been a thing that you've done before and been involved where cameras were following you around and capturing everything going on? Because there's already like a lot of, I think it's a lot of demand. We're here at MLS Media Day. You had just mentioned that you're probably doing about 40 interviews.
Wow.
And I think the modern footballer is sort of used to this, like a lot of social content, you're doing TikTok dances, whatever.
Yeah. Good. Whatever
they ask you about. But a documentary and following you around the season, was that awkward? Was it different? Was it something unique for the season?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I've never done it before this way, but I think it's very raw. You can see from inside of the locker room directly after a loss, where it's very pure and you have your feelings. And it was amazing. It was fun to do it. I mean, I've watched other documentaries, the Formula One Drive to Survive, for example. So, I mean, it was just fun to do it. And I think everybody's going to enjoy it because it is raw and pure and everybody's going to see how it is. playing and living like a soccer player. So, I mean, it's going to be amazing.
In fact, so I think footballers, especially from Europe, you're kind of trained, right? After a loss, you kind of know what to say to the media, right? You don't want to upset anyone. You're also upset. You probably don't want to talk to the media at that moment, but you have to share the emotion and you want to let the fans know that you're also upset. This is different. Now, all of a sudden, there's a camera in your face. You know there's going to be a documentary. Mm-hmm. How long before you just could get really raw in front of that camera?
It depends. I mean, you know there's a camera there and you're just acting after that a little bit. Everybody's just being themselves. But of course, it's always different when you have a camera in your face after a loss. You know, like you said, you know what to say and not to say. I think it is what it is. Yeah. But it was fun. Everybody's going to see how it is. And it was very pure, very raw from our side. I think everybody's being very honest about everything and how the life is outside and in the inside. So, I mean, it's always different. But it's still, you do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, look, we're both excited to watch the documentary. And we have to be 100% transparent.
Yeah, we got to talk about it. There's one episode I might not want to watch.
Yeah, I've heard. Okay. I've heard.
So we're not wearing the color on purpose.
We are both diehard New York City.
We were rooting so hard against you, dude.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah.
So we were rooting so hard against you.
And we were both obviously at Citi Field for the Hudson River Derby playoff game. It was one of the most difficult moments.
Yeah, as hard as this is to say, congratulations on the big win there. Yeah.
I was waiting for that one. Thank you.
All right.
But look, we would be lying if we said we didn't enjoy how the MLS Cup final went, at least for us as fans watching. But now that, the season's over and that the documentary, they're filming that part as well. Yeah. And that heartbreak as well is part of it. Did it get to a point where you're just like, get these damn cameras out of here. I don't want them to see part of it.
Okay, so they were with us when we lost 5-1, was it? 5?
That's what it was.
We lost at your place at, I think it was 2-1.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
So it was funny, actually, because they were with us before the game in the playoffs. And I talked to Lewis and we said, hey, listen, we can't lose again. Imagine they're getting 3 times. It would be terrible for us. So it was like, no, we're not going to lose this one. For sure, no. We can't lose 3 times. It's impossible. And luckily we got that one. But we didn't go all the way. So it still feels like we got the Eastern Conference, but we didn't win the finals. So it still feels... yeah, bad.
Okay. It'll be cool to see, though, because you guys had such an up and down season. You were, went through a really rough patch and then you started playing well. And MLS is different than most leagues. You have to build momentum into the playoffs. What was that experience for you like to see and feel playoffs? Is it different? Is it really that different? Does it feel more like maybe a cup tournament? Mm. Is there something that you can relate it to?
I mean, I came into it completely new. I didn't know what to expect, what to feel when we started the playoffs games, because you start with best of 3. Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit like, how are you going to approach this? But I think it was fun.
We're just as confused as
you, by the way. So, and then we get to play Columbus as well, and everybody counted us out. Yeah. So it was like, okay, that was maybe better for us to start that way. For me, maybe. I don't know. But after that, it was just like you said, you have to build a momentum. And I think we did it in the first game against Columbus. We won away 1-0. Mm-hmm. And I think we kind of built our momentum in that game going forwards. And then we beat them at home. So we beat them 2-0 against the reigning champs. And I think after that, we just kept on going. Went to your place, guys. Yeah. We beat you guys and went to Orlando. We beat them. And then it was just like, we just kind of... Yeah, like you said, we built momentum in one game and we just went on from there.
When being a DP, right, a designated player, there's a lot of responsibilities, especially being someone who has such a storied career. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of the young players, especially in MLS, are probably looking at you as like, give me some gem, give me some guidance. Do we get to see some of that in documentary of like you maybe putting your arm around a young player, or is that something that you like to do?
I don't want to, I love to do it. I talk to the players. I try to push them a lot. Because I know what they can do and what they know what they can do. Sometimes everybody's getting a little bit lazy in both ways, but I think you won't probably see it that much in the documentary. But for me, when I came in here to the New York, I just wanted to be myself, be positive, push the guys to do better every training and just be there for them and also do my part on the pitch. That's the most important part. If I'm not good, it's like, what am I doing here? I need to take my responsibility on the pitch and deliver. And it all starts from there for myself.
Yeah, it's always nice talking to players arriving in MLS, especially players that, you played in Champions League and at a very high level. But the I'm always curious, what was that impression, you know, when you got here? Because there's always we've always heard from, you know, over the last we've been doing this show 10 years. And even from back then to now, you know, we've spoken to a lot of players, even players that play in Europe. And there's a little bit of like MLS, whatever, like there's it's just like lower that level, retirement league and blah, blah, blah. But sometimes players get here and they're like, oh, okay, wait, no, it's not exactly, nobody's here to retire.
This ain't the easiest,
So, yeah, your impression of it from before you got here and then your impression now.
No, before I got it, I knew it was a challenge coming here, but I wanted that challenge because I think I've been 9 years in Germany, in Leipzig, so I felt that this is a good challenge for me to bring this club back to better days and to help the club go back to better days. And I think I was positive all the way, even though a lot of guys told me before I came in, like, don't be surprised by the quality of the league, of the players. And I think that's the case as well. I think the quality in the league is very high. I think the quality of the players is very high. And you need to be prepared for that. You can't come here a little bit arrogant and thinking, yeah, I just do my thing, right, because it won't work. It won't work. You need help from your teammates. You need help from the club to succeed. And I think that's one part that I always thought I need to do. Like, I need to bring everybody in. I need to be a good, humble guy, helping my teammates out and just bringing my quality to the pitch, first of all.
Well, talk to me about the difference between Europe and America in the sense of being a footballer. Like, we've heard so many stories from so many people who've come overseas and they're like, yo, after a loss, I can't go to the supermarket. Yeah. I can't take my family to a restaurant. Mm. Here, you good. You could go into the city.
New York is big. Huh?
Yeah, New York is massive. You're not going to go to Times Square and be like, get home. You should be sad for a loss. It's a little different here, right?
Yeah, but it all comes down to your own feelings after a game, after you lose. I don't think anyone wants to go out party after a loss. If I speak for myself, I mean, it comes down to your own feelings.
But how long does it take you to get over that?
I never, I think.
Really?
Yeah. No, it day after, we go into practice, you go through the game, you know you had a bad game, you know you have a good game. It's always different how you react to the games you've had. But I think either way, it's always hard. But yeah, I mean, it's so, here you have so many other sports also that's so big.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit in Europe, like soccer and like in Germany, for example, like it's so much passion and it's you have so many fans and it's totally different thing. But here you have other sports, you have a big city and it takes it down a little bit more. The passion, maybe not the passion for the sport, but just like
the intensity, the madness.
We're all Knicks fans, and they lose every day.
Yeah,
you know
but
what
they're
I mean?
Good
like,
now. But they're good
they're
now.
Good now.
Yeah,
well,
they're
finally,
good now.
I've
been
waiting, bro.
We've been to Germany a few times, and the fascinating thing, speaking especially playing for RB Leipzig, we've gone to games that RB Leipzig are not even involved, and you see scarves of people, of other fans.
Yeah. They got negative comments. They got we'll just call
them. I know that. I played it for 9 years, so I know exactly how it is. I started second league, and I think it was even more raw than it's now. I think we're getting more and more accepted now because I think the concept is very good. So, but it wasn't fun in the first couple of years, I'll tell you that.
We're running out of time, but I want to know, better food, New Jersey or Leipzig?
Oh, New Jersey.
There we go. That's it.
Of course.
That's all we needed to know.
It wasn't that
good. Dude, thank you so much for taking the time.
Take care, brother. Thank you so much.
Next time, take it easy, huh?
Yeah.
See you guys soon, huh?
Welcome back. Thank you to Emil Forsberg and obviously Apple TV Plus and MLS and New York Rebels for supplying us with another great interview.
Exactly. And, you know, we don't often get the opportunity to interview Red Bull players, also because we don't pursue them. But it's always nice.
There's reasons.
It's nice to, like, be in enemy territory from time to time.
Listen, we like talking to footballers. We don't care what shirt you wear on the weekend.
Have a little banter, you know? Back and forth. Emil Forsberg walked in knowing.
He knew
who we were.
Yeah.
It wasn't like he wasn't blindsided.
Yeah, I think he also was a little like, let me not have too much fun with these guys. So the fans
exactly
don't
bro.
Get mad.
It's just
and we met some of them at ISC and I walked past this, you know.
I mean, it is what it is. That's the nature of football.
That's
what are you going to do?
Enjoy.
Speaking of Major League Soccer,
yes,
let's get right to it because we had a whole different segment planned.
Luka Doncic ain't the only.
the only move that is surprising everyone right
Tommy
now.
Tommy Scoops, Tom Boger.
Breaking MLS Twitter right now.
The Soccer Wise
Or MLS Blue Sky.
One of the Soccer Wise Owls.
Yes.
Skeeted.
Oh.
Blue Sky.
Congratulations. Oh, no, never mind. not at the club.
He posted this about Cucho Hernandez. It says, breaking, Real Betis are nearing a deal to sign Cucho Hernandez from the Columbus Crew. Per sources, Pipe Sierra first reported. Cucho, 25, led Columbus to win MLS Cup in 2023, where he was named MVP of the final. He was second in MVP voting last season and lost to, obviously, Lionel Messi.
Cucho Hernandez is only 25 years old, and you as Columbus are walking away from this guy?
Bro. Columbus letting go of the Colombian. I can't believe it.
Your namesake, the best player on your team, the guy who's basically provided you ample amount of goals and highlights and massive moments, and you're gonna let this guy walk, bro? Y'all need Tim Bezbachenko back, bro. What is happening to this squad?
This is a kind of a wild decision.
Can we say stupid decision?
I mean, look, I don't know what the money is or whatever. I mean, I wouldn't call it stupid if you're getting something in return that is incredible, you know, amount of, like, monetary value. Then I would get it.
Who are you going to get that's better than this with that monetary value? And Real Betis isn't a big spending club, so I doubt you're going to get more than 10 to 12 million for this guy.
Yeah, that feels like
is a crazy number to sell this man for.
Crazy? That is not crazy.
No, that's crazy.
I don't think that's crazy.
Second in MVP, multiple times MVP. Mm. You know what I mean? Or at least in the running.
Nah, not
MLS Cup winner.
Is it a poor
played well against Liga MX clubs?
Is it a poor decision? I think so, because I think it's probably letting
25,
you go
a not little, 32,
a little too early, but. I don't think it's crazy. And if they think that they can replace him with the money that they get, it might end up good business. We don't know the number yet. We're obviously just speculating. But I'm not going to knock until I see the number. I'm not really going to knock the
give
move.
Me a number that where what's the border for you? Where's the break even point for you to go? That's a good move. That's a bad move.
If they say 15, I'd be like, you can't say no.
If you say 14, you're like, stupid.
Not stupid, but I'm like, it's.
So give me the number that's like the breaking point for you where you say, okay, now I'm on the positive.
I mean, I think anything under 10 is
so
stupid.
11 million still feels really dumb to me.
Yeah, that's fair. I don't think it's the
I don't
smartest.
Think you understand the question I'm asking. Because I say, give me the number.
I mean,
below.
That's the number.
$1 below it, you was like,
Under 10.
But then 10.1 still feels dumb, though.
I mean, it feels less dumb. That's all.
I don't think you understand how this scenario I'm asking works.
So
I'm asking for the over under number.
Yeah, if it's 10.1, you are smart. Okay.
No, I think for me it's like let's call it 13 million. Anything below that, stupid. Anything above that, I'm like fine.
But I ask just because I see and we've been to Columbus and we interact with a lot of Crew fans. They really love Cucho, and the fact that
he's one of their own, the way they look at him.
So I don't understand unless he's saying he wants to leave, offer him a contract.
We're not hearing that. I'm not saying it. I'm just saying we didn't hear that. We heard the opposite of that.
So
which feels really dumb. And I think as you get further and further into the weeds with like MLS rules and whatnot, it just goes to show why some of these GMs are more successful than others. Not to say anything about this new GM there. I think Issa Tal is his name, comes from the French league, took over for Bezbachenko. Bezbachenko goes to be the GM or the director of the group that owns Bournemouth. So Bournemouth and the other teams below him. I think Hibernian, I think, is one of the other team names, right, Carter? Hibernian? Yeah. All right. Thanks. Thanks for that, Carter. Sometimes I wonder, am I the only one here? You're back. The microphone's over there. Yeah, what were you doing, tweeting?
I was looking at the for more information.
Oh, okay,
the,
checking your bank account. Cool. when I look at the leaders, right? Who's that? Gareth Lagerwey and some of these guys. Some of these guys really know how to build a team in MLS. MLS has such strange rules that you kind of have to know how to maneuver within them. But losing a player like Cucho, you can't just go out and you know, MLS isn't the type of league that could just go out and then buy a striker. You know what I mean?
Like, especially in January, and it's just like a very
at the end of January.
You take whatever's left. You know what I mean? The scraps. It's not.
It feels like you're not really preparing for a league that's about to start in a couple weeks. So
interesting choice.
Speaking of interesting choices,
yes, another one in Major League Soccer. Houston Dynamo picked up Jack McGlynn from the Philadelphia Union
for $2.1 million.
$2.1 million.
These are these new cash transfers.
Cash money.
Yeah. We spending guap out here.
It's just real money, not the funny, not the Garber bucks.
No, this is real cash.
But this is a situation where Jack McGlynn, who played at the Olympics, is now looking more promising, developing into the player that especially a lot of Union fans kind of wanted him to be. But
the rumor was he was going to go to Europe.
That's where he wanted to go. He was telling Union, like, please get me to a European club. The reports basically said that none of the offers that they had received were better than the one that they received from the Houston Dynamo. So they were like, hey, we got to take it.
You couldn't get more than 21.
Jack, you know, Houston is lovely this time of year.
Yeah.
Hope you enjoy it.
Give me your thoughts on humidity.
This feels like and I don't say this, you know, I say this with all due respect, and I'm about to say something disrespectful. Hold on. But Houston Dynamo, for whatever reason, and I don't know what it is, but in my brain, and please tell me, other MLS fans, let me know if you feel this way. But Houston Dynamo feel like I look at Jack McGlynn, and I see him picture him getting signed for the Houston Dynamo, and he's like, I don't want to play here, like. The Houston Dynamo is the only team in my mind that I just think like some players are just like, I just don't want to play there. I don't know why.
Like, like punishment. Like this is like Australia when it was invented. Like you being sent there because you were a bad
boy. Something like that. And I don't know. Look, there's some bias there. And Houston hasn't really been great. They haven't really sold a lot of tickets.
The disconnect between the ownership and the actual team.
Maybe, you know, Harden bought the team along with the dad. Really, he's not really like there like that.
Yeah.
But there's something when as soon as I saw this move, I like felt bad for Jack McGlynn.
Yeah.
I don't want to feel that way about the Dynamo.
I'm the same way.
But that's bro. Please more because we were ISC.
Montreal also starting to feel like that a little bit. They don't want to spend money, so they'll just take whoever's available.
Yeah, there's a little bit of that, you know. But when like Nacho Piatti was there,
different era.
The vibes were completely different era. So, this is more than anything, do I think he'll do fine there? He's gonna get minutes.
Yeah,
he's gonna be like the leader of the team. They sold Coco Carrasquilla.
Yeah, yeah. So, and Double H is out. Yeah,
so he's gonna be more responsible. Ben Olsen has turned this team around. So yeah. It's not like
maybe the vibes will be different next year.
Yeah,
I just feel bad for Philly, man. They're losing the souls,
bro.
The soul of their teams, bro. The whole team.
And weirdly enough, the Red Bulls and NYCFC have each 20% sell on. A sell-on percentage on Jack McGlynn because he's actually from New York.
Yeah.
And the reason that is the case, I saw Tom Boger had reported this, is because the Union skirted the MLS territory rules that they have for homegrowns. So because of that, that was like the agreement. They were like, Union gets 60% sell-on and then the other 2020. So yeah, everybody.
So NYCFC and New York Red Bull just made a couple.
I think the sell on is like if you move to a different country, not within Major League Soccer.
I don't know. We have to check into that because now with this new cash transfer.
I don't know how. I assume that's usually how the FIFA works how FIFA works whenever we come to those transactions. Anyway,
yeah, $400,000 all of a sudden.
I'm mad at it. The other one I wanted to mention is
Santi Jimenez.
Oh, actually, before we didn't even mention this, but Miguel Almirón coming back. I don't know if you saw all the videos
and stuff.
And that was just cool to see.
Very smart. Move by Atlanta.
Yeah. So
you're bringing the vibes back. You need.
It was interesting watching Miguel Almirón shake hands with all the new people. You know what I mean? Like all the. Yeah. He's like, hey,
when'd you get here?
I've been here before. Like I
used to go to the school.
I was really cool here.
Yeah.
But you know,
look, I won awards. I won trophies.
But the other one, AC Milan, pick up Santi Jimenez.
And possibly
João
Felix, maybe right before.
Also, so another big exciting moves. You know, they could use a striker.
Alvaro Morata's gone.
Morata, yeah
either gone or he's on the way out. I'm not sure, but that did not work out.
It didn't.
The way I said it wouldn't work out, it didn't work out.
But yo, CONCACAF out
we on
in
the up, bro.
AC Milan, Santi Jimenez, who's doing fairly well at Feyenoord.
No, yeah. He was doing incredibly well.
Can't
scored a hat trick recently.
Can't score for Mexico.
No.
For his life.
That's a Mexico problem. That's not a Santi problem, bro.
But Santi links this up with Pulisic and Yunus Musa. CONCACAF.
Over under goals on him. I'll let you set the number.
I mean, well, we had 6.5 for
Marcus Rashford, but he's come back from a long drought.
Yeah,
what are we saying about this guy?
I mean, definitely over that. He's
you want to go 8.5?
Yeah, I think.
You think he's gonna score 9 goals in half a season?
No. I'm gonna say under 8.5.
So let's stick with 6.5.
Yeah, I'll say over. I think he should do more.
I think over as well.
Carter,
6.5 for Santi Jimenez.
Under.
All right. So now you got to either buy dinner or the reverse.
And then I'm not invited.
Yeah. See? And then you could not pay attention to me, Carter, like you do during the show. The whole dinner. No, he's working, by the way.
No, so this
he has another job. He works for FedEx.
I think this is an exciting move, a good move. And more than anything, this is screaming desperation from AC Milan. They need to get into Champions
League. Not just desperation. This is a smart business move. They didn't just go out and get like a teenager that isn't getting minutes. Don't just, I'm not, you know, on Matisse Tell. But they didn't go out and get a speculative striker. This is someone who is overperforming all of their analytical data, is playing really well in a league that generally has a good transfer rate. You know what I mean? Like you could pay relatively low, even though this is a loan move, right? This isn't a purchase.
No, this is permanent. This is a permanent
transfer. Oh, it's a permanent move. It's even better. They're going out and they're buying a player that specifically comes from a league where, what's his name? Luis Suarez. Other players that come from this league have been able to duplicate that performance. It's 15 million.
You guys ready for the number?
Yeah.
16 million. 16 million for Cucho Hernandez.
Hey.
16 million.
Okay. Now this is good business.
Okay. I know I said you didn't understand the rules. That still feels low.
And there's a sell on. We don't know what the number is for the sell on yet.
Come on. This is a good move for the crew. What are you going to do? I mean, yeah, it sucks. And yeah, emotionally. Yeah. You know?
Here's why hold on. Here's why I'll accept this move. You probably wouldn't. There's not much more he can do to up that number.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
There's not much more he can do. He's already done enough. So in a way, it's like, yes, okay, you got 16 million, but what you doing with that 16 million?
At least you have 16 million to do something with.
Yeah, you could count for now, you know, you can figure it out.
You know, you put the money.
In a way, you could use him to sort of now, right, Darlington Nagby's getting older, Christian Ramirez is either too old and going to play or move on himself. I mean, there's a lot of players.
You can use that money even within MLS. What if they, I mean...
Jack McGlynn, you going to Columbus, bro.
Some of those other names, like Evander, you know, not a striker, but I'm just saying, like, maybe that the options are within the league this time
you
around.
Can go, you can use 60 million to build up. Plus, a sell-on is... Sell-on is always good business for
all
me.
All I'm saying, yeah, it sucks, and I feel for
it the hurts right fans, now.
But you can't say no
to
16 million a dollar. So
we need to put tariffs on MLS players.
Well, yeah, get all the money you can now because everything's going to be more expensive.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So, yeah. So, again, congrats, Santi, on the move. I did love the this photo. This was just a cool photo to see. Santi Jimenez with Zlatan. Just, getting to know each other.
Yeah.
He's
like, how long ago did you play here, dude?
Santi also is a pretty tall guy. And you realize when you stand next to Zlatan, you can
look. Zlatan towers over most. So this is impressive.
But no, I'm excited to see, you know, AC Milan, they got, they drew this weekend against Inter Milan. But they are a team that is just you know, I constantly make the jokes like they beat Real Madrid in mm-hmm. Champions League, and then they can't beat Bologna, they can't beat Parma, they can't beat any of these teams. They struggle whether it's at home or away, and having a competent a striker, I think, will
someone who's at least gonna try to score. It seemed like they were missing,
and they couldn't replace Olivier Giroud. And that's
which should not be that hard, right? Because he was an older striker. No, I mean, I don't mean in a disrespectful
way. With all due respect, right? But yeah. So, all right, let's wrap up there. Any other moves? Anything? Any other news?
Bro, this episode's gonna be an hour and a half. They keep making these moves.
Everything is happening right as we're recording. But no, we'll obviously keep tabs on all that stuff. Go follow Tom Booger for all those scoops as well, and follow us at Soccer Cooligans. Follow us on Blue Sky. That other site is getting more and more difficult to use to have any sense of community. I can't open Twitter without being like either absolute doom scrolling or just getting furious at Elon Musk, bro. It's a nightmare.
You know, the worst part is you open it and you're like, oh, there's something I'm interested in, a soccer conversation.
Sure.
And then just one slight scroll and it's either booty cheeks, somebody, you know, is life ending, a fight that is way more vicious than you expected. I'm like, why is this on my thing?
Exactly.
You know?
There's a little bit of like, you know, sometimes I feel like a child. I'm like, I shouldn't be looking at this.
Yeah.
This is for the adults.
I need parental control on my own accounts, bro.
So go follow us on Blue Sky at soccercooligans.com on there. That's where it's all going down, and we're having a lot more fun there. So, and make sure you subscribe on YouTube. Anything else that I'm missing? Instagram, all those other things. Also, I just want to give a shout out. Go to my ISO, Carter. Shout out to San Francisco City FC.
Yeah, let me see
they sent us these kits.
Shouts to Mayba as well for coming back.
They're out in USL League 2, but absolutely fresh kits. So shout out to San Francisco City. Thank you so much for sending us these. They sent us a nice care package.
Yeah. Thank you for the kit. I got one as well.
And the shirt.
I got one as well.
Thank you.
The shirt. We'll show the shirt in another episode, but it's a really funny shirt.
Yeah.
And that's it, everybody. Thank you again for tuning in. We'll be back on Thursday with a brand new episode. We appreciate y'all. Hit the like, follow, subscribe, do all the things you got to do to support the Cooligans. Join us on Patreon as well, patreon.com/soccercooligans. And that is it. That is my spiel, everybody. We'll see you Thursday, like I said.
Yeah.
All right. Take care, everybody. Peace.
Love you guys.